What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray. First off, Happy New Year. This is our first Black Men Sundays episode of the new year. And what do we do on New Year's? We bring in my brother, Nelson Simmons III.
It's a Black Men Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is Black Men Sundays. We are back with the action-packed masterclass episode. So what did I do? Like we do every New Year's, I bring on my financial advisor. This brother is a financial coach. This brother has over two decades of financial experience. Remember, I told y'all last year and the year before that, I drank the Kool-Aid. This brother's legit. This brother handles my finances, handles my wife's finances now. So without further ado, Nelson Simmons III, coming from Nashville, Tennessee. Happy New Year and happy birthday, brother. How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, remembering my birthday, man. I am so glad that you got me back on the show. I don't know why you keep bringing me back, but obviously I got something that, you know, that can benefit the people. And I greatly appreciate you having me on the show again.
Definitely, man. And let's jump right in, because you said you wanted to talk about some stocks and things of that. So let's just, you know what? This is the Black Men Sundays January Masterclass. There you go. Take over.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to start, you know, Corey, I've said things many different ways on your show about how we should have a plan to become financially independent. We've talked about how to become that everyday millionaire. And so I want to talk first about having a dream. And this was inspired by one of my mentors. I was on IG and I saw one of his reels where he was talking about him and his wife having a dream of, you know, just building their farmhouse, right? Out on some acreage, having some horses, some chickens, all kinds of farm animals. And that sparked some things in me. They had a vision first. They had to see it. You can't have anything unless you see something. You have a visual or a visualization on where you want to go, and then you have to have a plan, right? And the plan, you know, you don't deviate from it because things get hard. They had some hardships and, you know, some of the things that were going on with, you know, building the home. They were building a home during COVID. And so this kind of inspired me to write some things in my personal journey. And if you just let me cook a little bit, I kind of want to share the thought that came about from this IG reel that he did, right? Just having a dream. So I just wanted to state this before we, you know, we move any further. But, you know, I just want to ask the viewership, what are you dreaming about? These are my thoughts. If there is no dream, there is nothing to achieve. If there is no clear vision, effort, and willingness to take risk, there will be no reward. There must be corresponding action in the natural, which is market participation to bear fruit. Seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Those are the things, those are principles, actually biblical principles, that one could live by, but they can be applied in the financial realm. And if I just take it a little bit further, you know, I invest in having my yard aerated and seeded every year, right? So seed is planted, the harvest doesn't come, right? Everything is dormant right now, it's wintertime. You know, maybe not where you are, Corey, but where I'm at, it's like 30 degrees. You see me, I'm in my sweater. So I can't expect any growth yet. It's not time for that seed that I planted to grow, right? But in due season, which is in, you know, the April time frame, you know, I'll see that seed start to sprout. And then by summer, it has sprouted exponentially, right? I have a full lush yard. And so that's the same thing that we can, if us in the wealth accumulation phase, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to amount to much, but over the course of time, you know, it will yield us bountiful gains. It will bear much fruit for us. So I wanted to level set. You know, I come in here and I set the foundation. You know, I'm a traditionalist through and through. There's a lot of things out there that, you know, people can get, you know, exposed to, you know, as far as financial gimmicks and things of that nature. If you just do the tried and true, most people won't even do that, right? If you just do the tried and true, practice dollar cost averaging, these are topics that we've talked about in previous episodes, you're gonna come out smelling like a bed of roses every single time. So stick to the fundamentals, right? And so if, you know, people, Corey, want to, you know, just invest, right? They don't want to hire a financial advisor. I actually think that you should, I'm not on here recommending, I'm just suggesting, stick to the basics, stick to an index fund, right? And in that index fund, you're going to historically get a return from 7 to 12% on those investments over the long haul. So you can do that, right? Investing in something, investing into that index fund that tracks the S&P, the NASDAQ, or the Dow, right? But S&P, if you want the broader scope of stocks, right? The biggest of the biggest 500 domestic companies, that's what you need to be investing in at any point in time, right? So just do that and you're going to be fine. So I wanted to start off there, Corey, before I get into the meat and potatoes of what I want to talk about, because I want to introduce what I call, or what Wall Street calls, the acronym stocks, which is a group of stocks where most of the overall stock return has been happening over the course of almost two decades. And though we're seeing the biggest growth from these stocks, I cannot deny, and no one should have them in their portfolio. So hopefully this is not like new to the viewership. I know I've, you know, introduced this one. The other two may be new. I know that I've spoken on FANG, right? Maybe if I haven't, I know that we've talked about FANG, right? So FANG is the original Wall Street acronym group of stocks, right? And so this group of stocks had its run back in 2009 up into 2020, right before we had the pandemic. And this stock grouping was Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. And they oftentimes would include Microsoft as well. So this is where most of the growth was happening back in the day, if we can call it back in the day. And so it ran its course. You know, Wall Street has changed it up, and we're going to get into those groupings of stock, because some of those same stocks exist in the new grouping. You know, something that helps you just remember stocks that you need to have in your portfolio if you're going to invest as an individual by yourself in individual stocks or in funds, right? Actively managed funds. So let's just talk about the growth of it all. So in 2020, the overall stock market returned 18.4% that year. That's after we went through the shutdown, the mandatory shutdown, where we couldn't go anywhere. So if you had had your money in the market and you didn't pull it out on 12/31/2020, the market would have returned you an 18.4% return. And then that FANG grouping of stocks helped that recoup some of that loss that we had seen earlier in that year. And it represented 24% of that overall return of 18.4%. So almost a quarter of that return, the total return of 18.4, represented just those six stocks that I just mentioned. That's quite outstanding. And so if you took it a step further and say during this time frame of 2009 up until 2020, and you just invested in FANG, your return, or the return on to its investors, was 34.25%. It would on an annualized basis. So that far outpaced the overall stock market, right? And so that was 2020. You know, things are moving super, super fast at supersonic speeds, especially with this new technology ecosystem that is heavily weighted in AI, EV, which is electric vehicle, and cloud-based computing. There's another grouping of stocks that Wall Street has added. They basically is the same as FANG, but they've taken out, Corey, Netflix and put in NVIDIA, right? And so it's called Magnificent Seven, right? So those are the Magnificent our stocks, or seven stocks are called Magnificent Seven. And again, that's Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, which is Google, that's Google's parent company, Meta, and NVIDIA, and Tesla. Tesla is included in that Magnificent Seven as well. And then they added a company, a semiconductor company called Broadcom, to make what we now call Batman, right? So Magnificent Seven plus one, Broadcom, make up this new acronym, this new wave, this new technology-centric grouping of stocks that one should have in their portfolio. And so if we do add Broadcom, I just kind of want to talk about that. That was added to this grouping of stocks by Wall Street because of what it produces for the overall tech sector, right? This is a company that produces customized semiconductors that do sophisticated tasks and functions while processing information. And if the viewership doesn't know what semiconductors are, it's essentially the brain of the processors, and it helps the computer chips that hold memory execute instructions and calculations needed for our smartphones and our devices. So exponential growth there. I think over the next decade, you're going to see a lot of growth in these stocks, and you need to have them in your portfolio mix somehow, some way. So just to give some statistics on it, Corey, in both 2023 and 2024, the Mag 7 accounted for more than half of the S&P's total stock return. These companies have invested billions of dollars in products and services that are integral to the, you know, technology, right? And so if you just look at Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, and Microsoft, they invested a total of $300 billion with a B in AI alone in 2025. So it behooves one to invest in these Magnificent Seven companies. And then if you add Broadcom, you know, the Batman stock grouping to your portfolio mix. So if that makes sense, but I can go further into it, you know, about, you know, there's some caveats, there's warnings, you know, that I have to put out there if, you know, I'm suggesting, not recommending, that, you know, there's a downside, right? And, you know, Corey, we've kind of talked about, you know, with growth stocks and some of these funds, you have to take the highs with the lows, right? So it wouldn't be advantageous of me to, or fair of me to talk or state, you know, the good without giving the viewership some of the bad, right? Or things, maybe not bad, but things that they may need to work or look for or know when investing in these particular groupings of stocks or this particular group of stocks. So during the times of market downturn or bear markets, and a bear market is when the stock price drops 20% or more from its previous highs. these stocks are not going to perform as well as the S&P, which is the overall stock market. In 2022, we saw the stock market, we entered a bear market, and the S&P ended the year with a decline of pricing at 20.4%. Well, if you had have had your total investment portfolio in the Magnificent Seven or Mag Seven, your overall portfolio that year would have dropped 41.3%, right? And as I've told viewership, this is just paper, right? It's like your house. It doesn't matter if it drops that much. You know, your house drops in what you could sell it for. The only time it really matters is when you actually sell the home. So these are paper losses, not actual realized losses. When you take your money out of the market, that's when you actually lose, right? So the reason for this is that Mag 7 is part of the tech sector, right? And so you're gonna see more loss when it's one sector, right? The S&P didn't lose as much because it has a myriad of sectors in that culmination or that total loss or whatever that can kind of disperse some of that loss over the sectors versus being in one sector, right? It's more diversified. The S&P is more diversified than the Mag 7, right? You're just looking at just tech stocks. And so they tend not to do as well in economic downturns. So in short, the Mag 7 by themselves are going to be more volatile, but there are ways that you can hedge against the risk or reduce the risk in times of market volatility if you're going to invest in the Mag 7 or Batman stocks. You can invest in an actively managed fund that holds those seven wonderful stocks. Look for funds or fund families that have their top 10 holdings in these funds. That means that they are strongly capitalized and they've invested enough money into the Mag 7 to be profitable or to capitalize on the overall growth of these funds for decades to come, right? It's as long as they keep their position in the Mag 7. And as of March 31st, 2025, active funds held around or almost a quarter or 22% of all assets in Mag 7. So there's really no reason for one to kind of assume all that risk and just invest in those seven or eight stocks by themselves when there are funds that will already do it for you. You know, and Corey, we talk about actively managed funds all the time. And then also to curb some of this risk, if you're managing your own portfolio, again, like I said, I suggest doing an index, but some people don't like it because it's not sexy. It's not fun. They want to see the ebbs and flows, and you know, it may get your blood warm to see those gains, those bigger gains when you have single stocks and then they're invested in this one particular sector. But like I just mentioned, you're going to have times where the market is down, and then when the market is down, you don't want to panic. So like Corey, you know, you and I, you know and work together to build like bulletproof portfolios where you have certain things at certain times, right? So growth is good during the good, but then you may have value stocks that are, they do better or perform better in overall bad economic times. So yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is I suggest if you're going to take the route, invest in the Mag 7 or the Magnificent Seven, You need to further diversify by including value stocks or value funds. All right, so during times of economic downturn, these stocks outperform growth stocks like, you know, the Magnificent Seven. You will find value stocks in sectors like the financials, which is banks and insurance, utility companies, you know, electric companies, gas companies, and water companies, in the energy space, which are oil companies, industrials, which is the manufacturing side and the equipment side, and consumer staples, which are companies that sell everyday goods, foods, beverages, other household goods. You need to have some of your portfolio invested in those for the harder economic times, because it's going to come. Everything is, it comes in, you know, waves and or in cycles, right? The market has its cycles. These stocks are oftentimes undervalued during times when growth stocks are up. However, they are less volatile during times of economic uncertainty. So this makes it, if you have these stocks or value stocks or value funds in your portfolio mix, it creates what I consider your defensive strategy to combat times of economic loss or economic downturn. And you should have value stocks and funds in your overall portfolio. So value stocks are known for overall stable returns and paying out high dividends. Dividends offset loss during market downturns, right? So they kind of absorb those. So these companies that are in the value space are more stable and they are able to pay out dividends. And dividends is what kind of trumps some of that loss in the overall market when, you know, times are volatile. So you need these. Value stock funds outperform growth stocks during times of high inflation. Value stock funds outperform growth stocks during times of high interest rate because they're more stable. So basically, these companies are stable. I'm getting ready, you know, Corey, I have an accounting background. That all that means, you know, to the general public is they have a strong balance sheet. So they're going to have a lot of cash on hand to handle their day-to-day operations. They don't have to go and borrow like some of these tech companies have to go and do to do what it is they do best and to continue to grow the company. So high interest rate, the interest rate environments don't bother value stock companies as much as they do the tech sector, where they're out going and borrowing money to do what they do in research and development and things of that nature. So I'm going to make a suggestion for those who want to do it from a individual standpoint and invest their money themselves. There is a fund or index fund out there called the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrat Index. This fund has a bias that favors value, the value sector stocks that I just mentioned above, right? So it kind of does it for you, and you really don't have to worry about that. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things.